Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
For I am your God and I am your Father, and I have given you grace. And I am giving you grace for a new thing in your life. Mm. And I will not take my grace away. And I will not take my love away. For my grace is sure. Mm. And my love is sure. My ways are sure. My kingdom is sure. My paths are sure, says the Lord. Do not trust in the lies that may be put before you, but trust in me.
Yes.
Do not look unto the darkness and their voices, but look unto me, the author and finisher of your faith, and I will strengthen you, and I will guard you, I will go before you, and I will empower you with my grace, Lord. Says the Lord. Do not be afraid. Trust in me, says God, for I am yours. Your grace will be strengthened by my hand, says the Lord.
Come on. Hallelujah. We receive it, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, Lord. I hate to be redundant, but the Lord says his grace is sufficient.
Amen.
And God says that, yes, sin has abounded, but his grace abounds
more. Yes, 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 yes.
Yes, you've made mistakes. Mm. Yes, you've blown it. Yes, you put foot in mouth. Yes, you have dropped the ball. But hear me, says the Lord, my grace abounds.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes, your mistakes have abounded, but my grace is greater. And I would have you, my people, to face forward. Stop looking back, face forward. For I am doing a great work through even you, this people, you. I'm doing a great work.
Mm-hmm.
I am not finished.
Right.
When the devil takes his best shot, I am greater, says
Amen.
God. I know what he's trying to do. I know what he wants to do, but I am greater, says God. And I will always have the final word. I will always have the greater word. And I'm going to use every single one of you because a great revival is coming. I keep hearing in the spirit, a great revival is coming. And my word says that in the day of battle, my troops will be willing. How are my troops willing? By my grace. Not remembering their faults, but remembering my grace. Not remembering their mistakes, but remembering my grace. Facing into my grace. I will use you mightily, says the Lord. It is that time. It is that hour. Don't be moved by what you hear in the news. Don't be moved by what you hear. Only be moved by my voice. That my grace is not only sufficient, but my grace shall abound even in you, says the Lord. Even you. Even you.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
I want to welcome you here in the auditorium, and if you're listening online, so happy to have you. If you're in the cafe, wonderful. We're continuing, actually completing our 7-week series on great grace here. We're going to stop the series, but we're not going to stop the emphasis on God's wonderful grace, because if grace stops, we're all dead, right? I mean, how many need grace? We need more and more grace, and hopefully grace will never stop in our hearts. Grace saves us. Grace strengthens us. Grace secures us. Grace takes our shame away. And it's all because of Jesus and what he has done on the cross. So we are thankful for grace. And I want to bring the 7th and final message of this series called The Rising Tide of Grace. The Rising Tide of Grace. And we're going to look as a text at 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18, I would like you to read this aloud. Let's read it aloud together. It's 2 Peter 3:18, the New King James Version, and it says, say it with me, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Everyone say grow.
Grow
in grace. Father, I pray that we will grow in grace. Lord, let us not stagnate. Let our experience not plateau in you, But Lord, let us always be growing, always changing, always coming closer and closer to that goal of being just like Jesus. Let grace continue to grow in us, I pray. And the people said, amen. Now, I'm calling this message the rising tide of grace. And I'm kind of borrowing from JFK because it was President Kennedy who articulated an old New England phrase that had to do with harbors and boats. And you might remember this famous saying that he said. He said, a rising tide lifts all boats. He said that, and he was talking about his vision for economic reform and policy and how a prosperous America would cause everyone's lives to rise in an equal way. And that was his vision. And I'm thinking about that phrase, and I'm thinking about actually the Holy Spirit being poured out in our day. I'm thinking about just exactly what Pastor Chandler and John and others have been prophesying about, and what we talk about, what we pray for, is that there would be revival in the Bay Area, and that God would pour out his Holy Spirit, and that it wouldn't just be one church that would be blessed, but all churches would be blessed. And it wouldn't just be one person here and one person there that gets blessed. But when God pours out his Spirit, when grace is really flowing, when grace is flooding into the earth the way the Lord wants it to, that everybody's lives will be lifted. I believe the key to a better world is not better politics or better public policy or better streets or better roads. All those things are great, and better libraries. I mean, you know, if we can have all that, that'd be great. But one thing we cannot live without, and that is more and more grace. And the key is that God would pour out his Spirit in our day, and that we would all be growing in grace. The church should be growing. The church should be changing. The church should be rising like a tide of grace until all the earth is flooded with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. This is a picture of end time revival. And so I want to talk about the way grace works and how it moves in the earth and how we can grow in grace as individuals and as the body of Christ. You see, grace is not a place that we arrive at and then stay. It's not like we tick off, you know, the experience of grace. And by the way, what is grace? It's God's kindness. It's his goodness. It's that experience of God's forgiveness and love that all of us need, right? And so, but it's not something that we just tick off of our checklist. Okay, I understand grace, and now I'm going to move on. Peter is saying you get grace, you get filled with grace, and then you keep growing in grace. It's an activity that never, never stops. Grace must not be static in our lives. We must not be stagnant in our experience with God, but it should be a dynamic unfolding of increasing and enlarging and maturing that takes place in our life, which is why in our church we're so big on the word grow. We talk about our grow groups and gather, grow, go, and our vision and all of that. Growth is a part of the normal Christian life. My question for you, are you growing in grace? Are you growing? Are you maturing? Is the experience that you have with Jesus Christ, is it deepening? Is it becoming stronger and fuller and more rooted into your world and into your experience? If you are growing, then I have no doubt about this one thing, that you have experienced the pain and discomfort of change. Because when you think about it, there is no growth in our lives apart from change. Now, I like things to be the same. I like to do things the same way. I'm a little bit maybe OCD. I have my systems and I like my ways of doing things. And I don't like things that I have planned to be interrupted, but I have noticed that God doesn't care what my plans are. God likes to just mess around with my stuff and get up in my life and mess things up. And at first, you know, a lot of us can see change and we can see, you know, things changing as an interruption. We can see it as a problem. But actually, you know, God changes things in our lives because he wants us to keep growing. See, if my goal is to be comfortable, God's goal for me is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And so while he doesn't mind me being comfortable and he wants me to be happy and, you know, joyful and all of that, he will at times push the change button in my life and in your life to give us a chance to grow in a new way. How many of you have been experiencing change in your world the last few? And here's what happens. When your world changes, you have a choice. You can get mad and angry and bitter and threatened and intimidated and frustrated, or you can grow. And God is bringing change so that we will grow. There is no growth without the discomfort of change. And God will push us at times out of our comfort zone into a place of closeness to Jesus and bearing his image. That's called growing in grace. Now, after all these 7 weeks of talking about grace and all the studying I've done and thinking and praying about the issue of grace, I wanted to just talk about four levels of grace because I think it illustrates a growth process. And I want to unpack some scriptures, show you some things maybe that you've never seen before concerning the levels of grace and how God wants to take us from level to level, from glory to glory. He wants us to grow up through some experiences within God's grace. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you what I told you. Because I really want you to understand these four levels. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that grace is available, but you can move past the availability of grace, that it's there, and you can recognize it, and then you can actually experience grace, which is something better than just having it available, right? If you had a choice between grace being available to you or experiencing, you would choose experiencing it, right? And so, and then grace, ultimately, if we keep growing in grace, grace becomes an overflow experience in our lives. And I'm saying these things because I want to challenge us to push through the discomfort sometimes of change and how God will lead us to new places and allow us a process of growth that will ultimately result in an overflow experience in our lives. To understand this a little bit better, I want you to think about your checkbook. I don't know if you brought your checkbook. I'm not going to take an offering. Everybody relax. We did that part already. But think about grace in a way that you would think about your checkbook. You know, it's possible that you could have funds in your checkbook that you didn't even know were there. Until you know that they're there, you can't really access it and use it. And if you make a lot of deposits and you're really good in managing your money, pretty soon your checkbook is going to be overflowing and you're not even going to have to think before you write a check. My question for you is, how's your grace balance in your life? Are you running low on grace? Are you down to pennies and nickels in the grace department? If you are, then there's plenty of room for you to grow in grace and to receive ultimately what would be an overflowing experience. But here's one thing I know, that we won't spend it if we don't think it's there. And if you don't believe that grace is in your life, if you don't know that grace is there, been deposited by Jesus Christ for you, then you won't enjoy it and you won't be able to experience. I want you to understand that grace is, number one, available. Let's talk about available grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Now look carefully at this verse and let me ask you a question. Is there any person in the body of Christ, any follower of Jesus that does not have grace? Is there anyone that should pray, "Lord, why didn't you give me grace? I don't have grace in my life." Is there anyone? If you look at that verse, it says that to every single one of us, grace is available. Grace has been given. And how did it come? It came through Christ. It came through his love. So everybody say this with me. I have been given grace. There's not one graceless person. There's not one person in Christ that God had said, I don't think I'm going to give you any grace. Now, this person over here, I'm going to give him double, and her, I'm going to give her triple, but you, nah. But you know what, church? Sometimes, if we listen to our tricky soul, we might think, either consciously or even unconsciously, I don't think there's really any grace for me. I don't think when I mess up that God still loves me. I don't think I have a shot at being happy in life. There's no joy in my life. there's no future for me. I went through a divorce. I lost my business. I think I ran out of grace. But here's what I want you to understand. Level one is every single Christian has been given grace. And there isn't anybody in this room that Jesus Christ loves more than he loves you. And there is grace, and there is good in you, and there's a gift in you, there's kindness in you, and God loves you, and his grace is available to you. Look at what John wrote in chapter 1 of his gospel. It says, "For from his fullness, a few of us have received grace." Is that what it says? What does it say there, church? We have what? All received. Say, I have received grace. Says we have all received grace upon grace. Not only grace, but layer after layer of grace in your life. God has been good to you many, many, many times. And next week, he's still going to be good to you. You're not going to run out of grace. And a year from now, you're still going to be living in grace. And 10 years from now, it doesn't matter what happens, how many times you blow it. Doesn't matter who is for you or who is against you, whether you have a job or don't have a job, if you're still with your family or something happens and you're not with your family, it doesn't matter. Grace upon grace upon grace is going to be yours. It's a constant in your life. You never have to wake up in the morning and wonder, is there any grace for a person like me? Turn to somebody and point right at them and say, grace is available to you, Jack. Come on, Jack, it's available. It's available. Now, we have all received grace. Now look at it. For the law was given through Moses, it says. I'm continuing in John 1. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You might want to write this down somewhere. I heard it and I love it. Three things a person needs to change. Grace, truth, and time. That's how we grow. That's how our lives change. If we have grace, if God gives us the truth about ourselves, the truth about the world, and you know, truth, the principle, scripture, if we really walk in truth, if we really have grace, and incidentally, as we've said before, we don't want a ton of grace and an ounce of truth. We don't want an ounce of grace and a ton of truth. We want lots of grace and lots of truth. And then once we have grace and truth, we just need a little, what? Time. And that's where it gets tight, you know, in some marriages and some friendships and some relationships, because it's like, I've had it. I need you to change now. And I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm not going to give you any grace. And you're out of time, Jack. And the truth is, nobody really can change their life that fast. We're talking about growing in grace. And that implies a process of time. So give it a week, give it a month, give it some time. Grace, everybody say grace. Grace. Say truth. Truth. And time. And then what happens is we're in a process of growth and our life is changing. Now, that's available grace, and everybody has it available. You can change. You can be forgiven. There is a gift in you. There is value in you. God is for you, and it will never be any different. Grace is available. But there's another thing that has got to be a part of our experience, and that is recognizing grace. That's the second piece of this. It's available, but do you know that it's available? Do you recognize it? Do you see it as available? And can you see it in your life? And can you recognize it maybe in the life of another person? Galatians chapter 2 says, this is Paul the Apostle talking about, the whole book of Galatians is really all about grace. And he's describing this, and he says, when James and Cephas, that's Peter and John, who had a reputation as pillars, recognized the what? You mean you can see grace? You can spot it? When they recognized the grace that had been given to me, they gave Barnabas and me the right hand of fellowship. It's an interesting story here. I was telling the staff just a few weeks ago about this story that you can find in Acts chapter 9 where, you know, Paul the Apostle, he was a murderer. He was killing Christians. Remember that? He had a terrible reputation. He was fierce. He was ferocious. He was killing. He was an anti-God. And he was hunting Christians down. And then Jesus Christ crashed into his life. He was gloriously saved, and God called him to the ministry and then sent him to the church that he had been persecuting. And he's like, "Hi, it's me." And everybody was freaking out, like, "Who is this guy? We know all about this guy. Don't let him in here." And Paul's reputation was trashed. And Peter and James and John, who were the pillars in the church, everybody loved these guys. And Barnabas put his arm around Paul and said, "Listen, I want to make an introduction. I want you guys to understand this. I know this guy. The grace of God is in him." And with that introduction, the people opened their hearts to Paul. They were a little afraid because of things they had heard, but they opened their hearts to him. And they gave him the right hand of fellowship. Now, my question is, what would have happened if those Christians had not seen and recognized the grace of God that was in Paul the Apostle? I'll tell you that we wouldn't have two-thirds of the book that called the New Testament, because Paul ended up writing it. Paul became the greatest articulator of grace and all that. My point is simply that it is important for us to be able to meet one another in the Spirit and say, "I see grace in you." Doesn't matter what I've heard, doesn't matter what I think. Maybe your skin is different than mine, maybe your gender's different than mine, maybe you're from a Baptist church or you're from a Catholic church. Oh my goodness. Or maybe you don't know anything about church. You don't know me and you don't know my life. But you know what? I see the grace of Jesus Christ in you. Because if you can't see grace, you can't access it. And I'm praying, Lord, give us the eyes to be able to see. That's like Paul said, we need to know each other after the Spirit, not after the flesh. I wonder if you give yourself any grace credit. I wonder if when you look in the mirror, do you see just a total failure? Just a grouch, a nerd, just a flop in life? Or do you have the God-given ability to look at yourself and you say, "You know, I'm not perfect. I got some issues and I need some tissues." But there is something valuable in me. There is an ability that God has given me. And I not only have grace available to me, I recognize the grace of God. And I celebrate the grace of God in myself, because I am growing and I am changing, and I'm not where I need to be, but I'm on my way. And when I see someone else who's just got me down to my last nerve, I can either look at them with critical eyes and notice what they're doing wrong, or I can look deeper and see the grace and character of Jesus Christ in that person's life. Don't look at other people with fear. Don't look at people that are different than you like they're, you know, is it possible that we could, you know, you might call me a heretic. Somebody in this room might never come back because I say the next thing that I say. I pray you'll all be back. Please don't leave me. No. Here's what I say. The Pope is coming to visit in a couple of weeks. Is it possible that we could see one or two things in this man that we would all be inspired by? Is it possible that somebody that's not from our little box, our Christian neighborhood, could say something that would inspire us to be closer to Jesus? I don't know. I just wonder. But if he says it, I hope I can recognize it. if there's something that he says or does, or if a pastor from another church or someone that I'm not used to says something that points me to Jesus in a way, I hope that I will be able to recognize the grace of God in that as well as in myself. Here's how your family will get better really fast. Recognize grace in your husband. Amen. Recognize grace at work in your children. Don't just think about what colossal mess ups they are and how they smell funny. Think about what Christ is doing now. See some little kid running through the hallways at church and you go, hey, you know, you're kind of in that phase of your life called the get off my lawn phase. You know, how many have been in that? Yeah. Get off my lawn. Hey, don't run. Instead of seeing children as little rugrats, you know, can we look at our kids? Can we look at our teenagers and see the work of God in them? Can we look at Paul the Apostle? We don't know him, but we can say, you know, I believe that the grace of God is in that guy. And maybe I can learn and maybe I can be taught. It's all about recognizing grace. Look at Colossians 1, verse 6. I have to hurry. I'm taking way too long with this. I'm supposed to be like on number 3 and I'm still on number 2. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I need it. Oh, God knows I need it. Colossians 1:6, the same good news that came to you is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. The gospel will change your life. Just as it changed your lives. When did that happen? When did our lives change? From the day you first heard and understood. I recognized it, and that's when it changed my life. We begin to grow when we recognize grace. In fact, we will never grow apart from that. Write this down. When we recognize grace in ourselves and others, when we see the beauty of Christ in other people and we see it in ourselves, that's when we are free to begin to grow, to begin to trust, to begin to expand and keep going in God. Anything less than that makes us afraid, causes us to roll up the door, to shut it, to lock it, and say, nope, I can't do that. When we recognize grace in ourselves, we begin to grow. There's somebody that I want to recognize this morning because they've been a very special blessing. In fact, the whole family, put up the picture of the Brock family. There's a beautiful family, right? Don't you love Mike and Ashley and Olive Crew and Pippa? They've been with us for 9 years and 3 months. Mike was ordained here in our church. He came from Southern California. I invited him to join our staff. He had not been a part of our church, but we invited him. And God has used him in a wonderful way. He started off as working with junior high and doing communications, and then God has given him different assignments. There's been a process of growth in his ministry. There's been a process of growth in his family. He came, when he was hired, he was a single man. He got married almost immediately because now he had money, and money's always good. And he married well. And yes, Ashley probably wouldn't have taken the deal if there wasn't employment. But and then... You know, the children and his growth in the call of God and going through the process, it has been a joy to have Mike as a part of the family and Ashley. And they're going to continue to be a part of the family, although I have an announcement that I'm going to make at the end of the message. I want to get back to my message. We're going to have special prayer for the Brocks because something very beautiful is happening in them. But I wanted you all to know how I recognize the grace that grows in a person's life. Can we give them a hand? We love the Brocks. Amen. Now, there's a third thing. There's a third level or piece of this, and that is experience grace. And this is why I'm spending 7 weeks talking about grace. I don't want to just fill your head with knowledge and Greek verbs and principles about grace. The goal is that every single one of us would be experiencing grace. Grace is not a teaching. Grace is a life that you live. It's an experience that you have. My question for you, are you experiencing grace? Is it a part of the way you're experiencing life? Romans 5, verse 2, this is what Paul is talking about. He said, he has brought us by faith into an experience of God's grace. It's not a stop in a journey. It's the whole journey from start to finish. It's what we're supposed to be. You know, it's like the psalmist said in the Old Testament, oh, taste and see, right, that the Lord is good. What is grace? It's God's goodness. So taste and see of God's grace and his goodness in your life. I've said to you many times, if I'm forgiven, I want to feel it. If I'm blessed, I want to know it. If I've got favor in God, I want to experience it. I want it to invade my marriage and my family, and I want it to color the world that I'm living in. I don't want to just know about grace or recognize that it's there, and but I want it to be my experience, and God wants you to live an experience of grace. Now, how do we do that? He says, he's brought us by faith into this experience. So evidently, to experience grace, you must use what? Faith. So you're facing a challenge, you need God's grace. You're facing a failure, and you need God's grace. What do you do? Well, you wait for a feeling. No, you don't. That's not how you experience God's grace. You experience God's grace by faith. You reach your hand of faith out, and you grab it, and you say, this is for me. I'm going to take grace with me into my work life. I'm discouraged, I'm sick, I'm broke, I'm alone. I'm grabbing grace today by faith, and I'm not going to be a failure, and I'm not going to be ruined. I'm not going to run out. I'm not going to be rudderless and purposeless in my life. I'm going to grab faith. If it's available to me in Christ, I'm going to receive it. And when you use the hand and the arm of faith to reach out and take it and just say, you know what, that's for me. I'm not going to be too humble to accept it. I'm not drawing a circle and standing outside of it. I'm going to stand in the grace circle. That's for me. This is mine. And you use your faith for that, then something very special begins to happen. You start to receive it. But there's another experience where you can receive grace. And it might surprise you. You can experience grace with the key of faith, but you also must experience grace through failure. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not recommending that you go out and fail. But I have a little prediction about you and about me. We might fail. In fact, it's extremely likely that I'm going to mess up almost immediately after I finish this message, and maybe in the middle of this message, because I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, but here's the beauty of grace. Grace is for people who make mistakes, and grace is not for perfect people, and if you think you're perfect, then you don't understand anything about grace. But if you have failed and you're brave enough to look at it and say, man, I missed it right there, but God still loves me and I still have a life and I still have a future and God is still for me, now you are beginning to experience grace. I pray that every one of you would experience grace in your relationships, that you would be in relationships where failure is not recommended, it's not celebrated, but when you fail, the arms of grace come around you. I remember one time I said to my kids, because you know, you grow. And you're not a good dad when you're 22 years old. You know, maybe you're okay, but you get a little better when you're 32. And then by the time they move out, you finally understand how you should have done it, you know. And it's like, you know, all our kids are going to need inner healing by the time we're done with them. That's just a fact of life, you know. And so I said to my sons one time, I said, you know, I'm looking back on, I said, if I had to do it over again, guys, let me just tell you, I would not have reacted to like small things as much. And I think I was a little harder on you than I probably needed to be. And Aaron said, oh, Dad, we had it coming. Everybody say grace. That's like room to mess up and still be okay. Anybody here need grace? We need grace in our marriages. We need grace in our church life. We need grace in our world. We need to experience grace. You can't experience it until you have failed. And when you fail, if you fail, just say to yourself, I'm growing in grace. And when your friend or your spouse fails, just give them a hug and say, you know what? Don't let it get you down. You're growing in grace. And sucka, if you ever do it again. No, that's not, no. No, just stop with the first bit. You're just growing in grace. And turn to somebody and say, he's talking about you, not me. That was for you. All right. Okay, there's one last piece. Are you getting anything out of this? Okay, I'm getting back on track, I think. I think I have enough time to finish this message. Number four, overflow. The overflow of grace. If you keep growing in grace, if you receive it and recognize it and appropriate it by faith and even hold on to it when you fail and mess up, then you will be overflowing in grace. That's the final level. 1 Timothy 1:14, the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad for Christ Jesus? And what he did for you and I on the cross and how he gave his life and how we can, by faith, receive forgiveness of sins and begin a brand new life, an abundant life. This is overflowing grace. And there's a dimension of grace, actually, that is tangible. It's obvious. It's conspicuous and unmistakable. You can see it in a person. And you come to that final level of grace. I think when people were around Jesus, they were in the overflow of his love. People were on him like bees to honey. You know what I'm talking about? Like fat kids to cake. I mean, they just... See, I told you I was going to make a mistake. They wanted to be around him. They wanted to be in his presence because there was something in Christ that was like an overflow. And people were drawing that. You know what? I want to be that kind of a person. There are some people, when you're in their presence, you just feel grace. Because it's just overflowing. This is the goal. This is the journey that we all want to be attaining to. That place of overflowing grace. It's a dimension. It's something very special. It's where we're able to recognize it. Recently, Kathy and I were in a church service. Actually, Joseph Garlington was ministering. And this particular church, I won't reveal too many details, but there was, within the leadership, a moral failure, a betrayal. There were people arrested. It was a nightmare involving children being harmed. It was like a disaster in a local church. And the brokenness of the people and the shock and the woundedness, most of us don't know what a church problem really is. We think it's, you know, 2 degrees warmer than it should be in our church, so that's a problem, you know. I'm talking about a church going through tremendous brokenness. And I watched the Holy Spirit move into that room, and grace just started overflowing. And the healing and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It was, yes, it was Joseph Garland, but it was God using him. And I just thought, Lord, I want to be a person who, where I go, when there's tremendous brokenness, I'm not the one saying, hey, look at all this brokenness around here. Somebody ought to do something about this. I don't want to be that person. I want to be that person that overflows to see the need met. Amen. to see a broken family healed, to see a church put back together, to see a neighborhood reclaimed, to see a city brought to Jesus. I'm going to make a prediction about San Jose because I have a sniffer. I smell things. Let me tell you what I smell in San Jose. I smell revival. I see pastors coming together. You should have seen 40 of us agree in lunch. 40 people, 40 lead pastors. I'm talking about significant. I'm talking about large churches and significant churches. Guys with dreadlocks and black guys and Asian guys and all young guys and people with their collars. And we came back together and signed and said, we want to work together to see San Jose. We want to work together to see San Jose change. When I see that, I smell it. I smell a rising tide. And you can talk about San Jose, and you can talk about San Francisco, and you can talk about Oakland, and you can talk about and all that. I'm not ignorant to human trafficking. I get it. I understand the perversion. I get the sin, the corruption, the phoniness, the religiosity. We can look at all of that, and we can criticize it and notice it and condemn it and stay away from it and cower from it. But at the same time, I read a Bible that says that where sin abounds, grace does so much more abound. And we can look at our area and say, this is just the driest place on planet Earth, or we can say, this is a perfect place for God to do a miracle. And I want to tell you what, you live in the San Francisco Bay Area not by accident. You are a part of what God wants to do in this region. And I want you to use your faith, and I want you to believe with me for regional overflow. I'm going to prophesy it. There is a rising tide of grace. It's called revival. Hallelujah. And I believe it is coming. I can't wait to see what this city looks like, what our churches look like, and what our world looks like when Jesus Christ and his grace is literally overflowing. How many will believe with me for that? Would you stand to your feet? I want us to just take a few minutes with the Holy Spirit. Here's my simple message. Grace is in you. Grace is available to you. You need to recognize it. You need to grow in grace. Don't level off. Don't stop your pursuit of Jesus Christ. And don't give up on yourself. And don't give up on your husband. And don't give up on your friend. Don't give up on the Bay Area. Don't give up on your church. Don't give up on your world. Grace is going to lift all our boats with that rising tide of grace. Amen. So you take your hands and you put them like this. You could think about your failure. You could think about how broken the world is. But in the end, grace is greater. To him be glory. Keep on growing in grace. To him be the glory. In our brokenness, in our failure, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We're going to keep on growing in grace. And though we have failed and though we have fallen short, God's grace is greater. Hallelujah. Sing it again. It covers me. Covers me. I receive it, Lord. There's a prayer that I want to put up on the screen. I want to invite you just where you're standing. Just a few minutes, we're going to have some different prayers down here at the front, but here's a prayer for you to pray. As God has been talking to you, now you have a chance to talk to him. And these are words designed to draw you closer to the Lord. Whatever your experience is, whatever church you're from, maybe you're not from any church, maybe you have no experience with Christ, you can say this prayer, and I believe something will take place in your heart. And God will touch you. Let's say it together. Father God, come on everyone. Thank you for the rising tide of grace in my life and in our region. I don't want to be stagnant. I want to grow in grace. Come on, keep praying. Even I ask for new... Say that again. Even when it's uncomfortable, I ask for new levels of grace and growth in my world. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name. Amen. Now, I mentioned that I had an announcement about the Bronx. I want Mike and Ashley just to come. I don't know if the kids are here, but so very proud of this couple. And there's a transition that is taking place that I'm very proud of with Mike and Ashley. Mike and Ashley came and have been a part of our church and serve as pastors in so many wonderful ways, as I mentioned before. And over the last few months, we've been in some heart-to-heart discussions because a door has opened for them, which I have come to believe is a God door. There's a beautiful organization called TBC, Transforming the Bay with Christ. And Mike has been working with them because he's been working in our behalf for revival and trafficking and all of that. And they have come to believe that he would be a key in their development toward reaching the Bay Area because of the grace that's on his life and the gifts that are, you know, part of his life. They have talked to me. Of course, Mike has talked to me, prayed together, and we've been in discussion. And now we feel this time is actually the right time. I wasn't super excited in the beginning. I don't like change. But I will tell you that as I've waited on the Lord, God has given me great peace that this is exactly what needs to happen for Mike and Ashley and for the Bay Area. So Mike and Ashley, while the transition has been underway and will begin to unfold in earnest over the next few weeks, Mike and Ashley will still, by the way, be a part of the church, although much like Pastor Chandler, when we see him, we'll see him. Other times we won't see him because he'll be busy somewhere else. He'll still be Pastor Mike. We'll still love them. But his day job is shifting from our community pastor to kind of like a community pastor over 267 cities or whatever it is in the Bay Area. And they're making him a director. And they're doing this with my blessing and with our blessing. Our elders are aware of this, and we're very proud of them. And we want to celebrate this as a great accomplishment for them. They deserve it, but also for what Christ wants to do in the Bay Area. So I want you to express your love and appreciation for Mike and Ashley. Elders, I'd like to, if you're an elder in the church, just come up right now. All our elders, our Gateway elders, we're going to say a prayer. And I'll mention as they come up also that as for us, we're going to continue in our work with community, and we're identifying leaders and making plans to continue on everything that we do concerning justice, the trafficking of women, all the projects that Mike has been working on. All of that will continue and actually will unfold in an even greater way, I believe, because of the partnership between Gateway and the relationship, the connection between Gateway and TBC. But and we're not saying goodbye to them. We're announcing this, of course. Maybe it sounds like it's a goodbye. They're going to be around, okay? And you'll see them. So if you have special things you want to say to them or whatever, you don't have to do it today because they'll be around. This will unfold over the next few weeks, and we'll give you more information. But we just want to stretch our hands out toward them, and we as an eldership just want to bless Mike and Ashley. And here's our prayer for them. If we could just put it in one word, we would just say grace, Lord, grace. Everybody just say grace. Grace in change, grace to grow, grace to do a new job that he's never done before, grace to help in the area of revival and to help bring unity. Lord, we as a congregation, we just celebrate Mike and Ashley. We celebrate the work of God in them and what you're doing. And we say, amen, Lord. Let this be, Lord. Let this be. Bring them, Lord, to that position for such a time as this. Lord, we ask that you wouldn't just bless us, but that you would bless the whole Bay Area with what you're doing, Lord. And Father, we just treasure, Lord. We treasure this couple, and we ask you to bless them and lead them and guide them. And as an eldership and as a congregation, we just speak life and blessing over them in the name of Jesus. And we all said, amen. 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 Thank you, Pastor Nicole. If you got to go, you got to go. But this is family time here. So In fact, if you just want to take a seat for 1 minute, I just want Mike to be able to say hello to you. Maybe Ashley, if I can get this on. Sorry. I just need grace. Yeah. Elders, you can stay here. You don't have to go. We're going to end in just a minute here.
Well, I can't say how much I appreciate you guys, the congregation, our leaders, our teams, our volunteers for so many years of countless support, developing us, maybe more than we developed you at times, supporting us, loving us, your prayers. Please keep your prayers coming.
Yes.
And just a thank you to our pastors, our staff, and our elders, and to Pastor David. I mean, I was, like Pastor said, I was 24 years old when I got a call from Pastor David. I'm not that much older now. I just look older. You gave me grace. Yeah. We had our kids here. We got married with you guys. And I couldn't be more thankful and more appreciative of this church. And the good news is that, yes, we got a new assignment, but we didn't get a new church. We didn't get new friends, and we didn't get new family. So we're still here. We'll actually be here next week. And actually awesome. Today, unfortunately, my wife has to fly out for a funeral of a family member. So we have to dart immediately after service. But next week we'll be here, and the next week we'll be here. And we love you guys so much and appreciate you so much.
So in other words, even if we really, really, really want to talk to you right now.
Unless it's throwing money or checks or something like that.
You got to go to the airport.
Yeah,
we got to go to the airport.
To scoot out real quick.
We love them. And again, we're going to be seeing them again and again in the future. Of course, they'll always be Pastor Mike and Pastor Ashley to us. And they're a part of our family. Let's tell them one more time. We love them and appreciate them. And now would you stand with me, everybody? Come on, stand. And if you need prayer, there's going to be elders and leaders and intercessors down here at the front. If you just need healing prayer, you want to check in with someone, please don't rush out the door. But if you have a minute, just greet one another in love and in faith, and maybe tell two or three people, I see grace in you. I see grace in you. God bless you. You are dismissed. And those that are going to the welcome weekend, you're new in the church and we haven't met you, please meet us in room 201 to my left off the hallway. I'm headed there right now.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.